Yeah, before we get into that, though, I wanted to take a second just at the beginning to talk about our anniversary coming up. We were going to turn 9 years old on July 26th is the actual date, but we're going to be celebrating on July 25th. We have an event from 6 to 9 at the Destination Sports and Arts Complex. That's 1103 East Loman. And I'm really excited about this. Early in our, I think our second or third year, we had what we called the Roadrunner Review.
Right.
And we had all this musical talent who were doing shows here at the station. And we said, well, why don't we put on a show with them? And so this is a smaller level. We're not going to be at the Rio Grande. We're not going to be charging, I think that was $20 a seat. This is going to be open to the public. And it's going to be a continuation of the same party that we've been holding for the past several years. When we get to the end of July, we recognize our anniversary. And for the last couple of years, as a part of that, we have been, I guess this will just be the second year, but we have been inducting new people into the Las Cruces Community Radio Hall of Fame. And that process is going on now. And so I want to let people know that we are taking nominations. Doesn't have to be on the air. It can be somebody who's working off the air. Doesn't have to be current. Could be somebody who was here before. Open to pretty much anybody who is here at KTAL helping us out, with the exception of Peter and me and the rest of the board, because we're the ones who are going to be choosing it. But other than that, anybody current or past, and all you have to do to submit your nomination is go to lccommunityradio.org and hit the Contact Us button at the top of the page, and then just send us an email telling us who you want to nominate and why. And we'll be announcing that in a week and a half or so. And once again, our big event is going to be July 25th from 6 to 9. And I didn't mention who's going to be playing. So we're going to have we're going to have Clinton Wilcox, the host of Christian Classics 101. He's going to try to get his band, but if not, we'll have him. We've got Julian. Well, I'm getting to him. Yeah. We've got Julian Medina, who is the sound person and has been part of the team of Local Vibes Live from the very beginning. He'll be performing as Jet Zero, his stage name. Mm. We've got Alex Brinkley, who is the host of Local Vibes Live, and she'll be performing with her band, Desert Honey. And then the headliners for the show are going to be the Swamp Coolers, and they are fronted by Tater, who does our poetry moments. And we've had them on twice. We've had them on one of our Live from the Farmers Market show, and we've had them on Local Vibes Live, and they're just a lot of fun, very tight professional band, but they were a lot of original songs. And if you know Tim or Tater, he's different. He's a unique individual.
Even reading poetry, he's a great showman.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So once again, send us your nominations, lccommunityradio.org, who you think should be included in the Community Radio Hall of Fame, and come on out and join us July 25th, yep. Saturday,
from 6 to 9
at the Destination.
Yeah, I'm even excited about this one. And when I stop and think about it, I'm excited about this radio station. And,
yeah,
you know, when we first conceived it, 12 years ago, and started working toward getting on the air, which happened 9 years ago in this month, we had no clue whether we'd last, a week or two or what.
I was following it from the Sun News, and I had no clue if you were ever going to get on the air, period, to begin with. I mean, it was there were many times when it seemed like it wasn't going to happen.
And as I've mentioned, we had an in-house argument about, hey, can we go on air? And I'm saying yes, and some other people are saying, no, it's not safe to go on the air until we've got a year's funding in the bank or whatever, which was probably prudent and wise, but...
Yeah,
I'm not either of those. But I think what amazes me, we're not perfect, but what amazes me is the variety and quality of our musical shows, including yours, because that's something I couldn't do, and don't know a lot about music, and you guys are great and so varied, not only the type of music, but the type of personalities.
Well, we should give Minerva a shout out in the PAC,
yes,
the Programming Advisory Committee. And they are the ones responsible for all the programming, and they really do a great job of. And the community does, steps forward. All they can do is take what comes to them. And every month, it seems like when they meet, there's at least one new person with a new show idea, and that's how we keep it fresh. And you know,
Minerva is also the producer on our show, and that you know,
I assume people know that, but I shouldn't have made that assumption.
Anyway, she you can't vote for her for the Hall of Fame because she's already in it.
That's right.
one of the earliest, and much deserved. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that too. The 25th destination, 1103 Loman, I think
that's
it
right.
is.
That's right. Between Espina and Solano.
Yeah. It's really sort of on the side street, which I forget which side street it is.
Yeah, I do
Not
too.
Not Saparo.
And they've got parking all around it. Yep. So, and it'll be on a Saturday, so the you can park at the neighbors if you need to. And I hope we'll fill up the parking spaces and get a lot of people out there. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And we will announce the inductees ahead of time, but we will obviously present them with their little Roadrunner statues and give them an opportunity to say a few words and, you know, have a good time.
Yep. Meanwhile... we still have 25 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever it is. We are at 526-5825, 526-KTAL, if you want to join the discussion and tell us where we're wrong. But what do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's start with local stuff, I think. We were talking earlier about the event Saturday at La Llorona Park with state senators Steinborn, Soles, Carrie Hamblin, and Joseph Rontas. And really pushing back hard on Project Jupiter.
Yeah. Including Cervantes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say he's not always... You know, when there's a cause like that, he's not always on
That's
board.
Right. That's
he's
right.
more of a respectable lawyer.
Well, and he's more business friendly, yeah. certainly, than, you know, Carrie Hamblin. And, you know, they're not always on the same side of those issues. I guess the big question, well, first of all, let me say the one thing, neither one of us went to it, so we're, you know, both getting our information from the media. The one thing that surprised me was Bill Soles saying that he still had not heard about this until 2 weeks before the county acted, which is several weeks after the legislature had adjourned. They had voted on that amendment, so they approved the amendment that gave Project Jupiter an exemption on the Clean Air Act, and he still
didn't. I don't think that so clearly tied itself to Jupiter.
Oh, no, it didn't.
So,
but you had to ask. I would think you would have to ask what it's tied to. I mean, who's asking for this and why? And why would we want to do it?
In the last minute rush, I guess they didn't. Anyway,
and I could see how that could happen. I do. It's crazy up there in the last.
Yeah, you know that better than I.
Yeah.
Another point about Jupiter is that they have now been. And there's a movement to a petition to report this to the Department of Justice. But basically they're scamming and I think committing crimes, they or their contractors, by false identification, even forgery, because they've got a bunch of paid canvassers going around to get signatures to send the Environment Department positive comments about Jupiter. Oh, yeah, you should let this give them their permit.
Right.
When majority of people seem to feel otherwise. But it appears that they're going to people, and if you say, no, I won't sign it, they say, well, can we get your email address so we can tell you more about it later? And you give me your email address, you find out afterward that you've commented to the Environment Department in favor of Jupiter.
Yeah, I would think if you could prove that, that certainly seems like it's fraud.
Well, there's an Albuquerque city councilman, apparently, to whom that happened, and probably others. I mean, I know the people gathering it. The question is, two questions. Will the Environmental Department stand up and do something about it? Because the scam, the fraud, basically.
Right.
Which is a crime by somebody. Jupiter will say, oh, we didn't know it was our...
Sure, our overzealous...
Our overzealous...
Third-party contractor.
Yep. But somebody's committing a crime if this is happening, as it sure seems to be. And that's enough for New Mexico Environmental Department to say, no, I don't think so.
Is that the next big step?
Yeah. That's probably the last big step.
Yeah. The last real chance.
Now, there are a couple other points. One is there apparently, and I think lawyers could reasonably argue this, but they seem to have missed, they definitely missed two reporting deadlines that are under contract, and the county, if it had any guts, could hold them to account, or at least try to.
Or desire. I mean, we still have the same people on the commission who voted for this in the first place.
So. Largely. I mean, there's one,
there's one
new
change.
One since then, and of course one did not vote for it.
That's right. But that still leaves three.
Yep.
And we've got a caller.
Oh, good. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was calling in regard to the fraudulent submissions to NMED about the permit comments that had been submitted by Jupiter.
Yes, sir.
I agree entirely. This needs to be investigated. And I'm not sure that NMED is the appropriate organization to be investigating it. I think the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, should be looking into it. I mean, at the very least, we have some form of identity theft if they're submitting comments in people's names who don't really want to have those comments submitted. And in the case of, I think there's a couple legislators who have experienced this, so we have them impersonating elected officials. And they're also creating a false record with the government. So I think these are very serious charges, and the DOJ really needs to look into it.
Now, there's a petition that people can go to. Can you give them
online.
give them the URL to go on? It's real easy to sign.
Yeah, the petition, it can be accessed at https://tinyurl, that's tinyurl.com/ New Mexico, NMDOJ-PETITION.
Petition.
And I think people need to go there and sign on to that, because we have here really a very serious fraud being perpetrated on the people of New Mexico.
Yes.
You know, we hear from some quarters about how the elections can't be trusted, about how the system is being gamed, about how people are voting when they shouldn't. And there's never any proof of that. But in this case, we have actual proof of a very important opportunity for people to weigh in on their government being perverted. And I think we all should, you know, whether you're for or against it, you should be opposed to this kind of deception.
Absolutely.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. With regard to the county and breach of contract, I wanted to say that, you know, there's an argument, I think, that the county has not prepared the website or hasn't done something it should have done to make it easier to do the reporting. So there'll be unlike a lot of these things where it's clear cut, there might be a legal argument as to whether they're in breach of contract. But it's academic because the county don't care.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. As we were saying, at least a majority, as it sits right now, And that kind of segues into the other thing that we were wanting to talk about, and that is the fact that the county is now no longer allowed to spend state funds without hiring a fiscal agent to do it for them. And this is the result of the audit that came out right. a couple of months ago. And that's alarming. I mean, when the state says that they can't, that the county administration can't be trusted with their money, well, does that mean they can be trusted with our money? Because all of our tax money, you know, and the answer is no, they can't be. And regardless of, there has not been a specific crime identified, but what has been identified are weak systems that there could be crimes going on left and right and we would never know about it.
Right.
And so
it's you're supposed to have financial control.
Right.
And have somebody looking at that carefully. And the county is, I think what worries me most about all that is not that there are a lot of things wrong, which there are, many of which preceded any of the current
commissioners. Yeah, that's fair. This goes back a long ways.
But the response by Manny Sanchez, unless he's changed his tune, I mean, Susana Shapiro went to PVA a day or two later and said, I want you to hear this from me. This happened. It's bad. It's not the end of the world, but it is bad. And she sort of took ownership, even though she might be least to blame.
Right.
But Sanchez basically said,
"We got another caller.
It's all political."
Your point. Yeah, which is disappointing and untrue. We do have another caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead. Maybe we lost him. All right. It sounds like we lost him.
Mel, do call in. Do try again. Don't know what happened. Thank you, caller. Yeah. But the response by Manny Sanchez that it's all political. I mean, come on, man. Number one, it's stuff that some of us have been writing about for more than 10 years.
Right.
Hello, it's all political. I don't have an axe to grind. I supported Manny Sanchez. I probably wrote in my column that people ought to vote for him. He's a Democrat.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Okay. Looks like we got
the state auditor's a Democrat. Good morning.
Good morning. I can barely hear you, but I would like to ask a question to you guys based on your last conversation concerning transparency and surveys and done by other people. I want to tell your audience that in now you know Las Cruces Bulletin, the July 3rd issue, page 4. The city is also doing a survey called Brownsfield. And it's identifying what they believe would be economic development for the city, not the citizens. And I believe this survey should be looked into, as it's going to leverage huge amounts of money and take away private property owners' relationship with their property in the city of Las Cruces.
Okay, I'm not sure I understand much of that. Maybe get in touch with...
Okay, well, the Brownsfield survey is being conducted by the Las Cruces Economic Development Department, because what they proposed in terms of surveying or spying on properties that are unused or are not producing enough revenue for the city of Las Cruces is actually illegal in the manner of their surveillance techniques. So they're now going after the public. So if you don't like your neighbor or vacant property near you or something like that, they're asking you to comment through a survey so they can identify these pieces of property as not producing revenue for the city. And the city wants to do something about it. It's on page 4. The last bulletin issue, and I believe that people should read about it themselves and decide whether or not this is acting as North Germany and asking as a Stasi and to report on people you don't like.
Okay, well, I'll certainly look at page four.
Well, it has to do with the transparency. You just talked about Donnie Anacount and Project Jupiter and surveys and people being, you know, listed for things that they don't know about because the transparency right. of the device, the survey, or polling is rigged.
Are you saying it's you're saying it's rigged because it's sponsored by the development folks, economic development?
I'm saying the city of Las Cruces is about to use a light type of eminent domain to forward their need for revenue against private property ownership.
Okay, well, thanks for letting us know about this. We really aren't prepared to get into a discussion because we're both learning about it for the first time, but we do appreciate the knowledge.
Well, wait. Well, I thank you very much because it's transparency, and you talked about other projects and other people's relationships.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call,
and have a good day.
Like I said, I'm not aware of that. We can certainly take a look at it because it does sound like that. Often, with city planning, that is always the balancing act is. You know, private property rights versus common good, I guess the city would argue.
Yeah. Let me say something to the city and the county. Yo, we're in a desert. We have a water crisis. All this excitement about development and, you know, a planner who's been on some of these public boards was complaining to me at the market Saturday. You know, we're going to put 1,000 new houses up in the Mesa. And we're going to do this and that. Meanwhile, we still have an outlawed planting new pecan farms.
Right.
We're in
so
a water
what are you
crisis.
Saying? You want a moratorium on new housing?
No, I'm not smart enough to have thought that out as a. But you know, if I were in city or county government, I would take a measured approach to growth. Yeah, businesses always like it so they can get more money.
Typically people like it so they can get more jobs. I mean, you and I don't have to worry about that, but, you know, if we were in our 30s or 40s, we would.
Right. Well, I plan to live a while, and I'm going to have to move away because we don't have any more water and sell my house at a terrible loss.
I hope that we're a long ways from that.
We're not. We're a lot.
For the town being insolvent and people having to sell their houses and nobody wanting to buy them because we're out of water, nothing to drink, we're away from
it
that.
It has happened in New Mexico in recent memory, in a smaller town. But
and temporary.
It's a concern. I'm not saying moratorium on housing. I'm not saying any of that. But I am saying if somebody comes and says, oh, I'm going to build a bunch of new stuff, temper your excitement about that a little bit. And in the county, part of the folks leading this was there was an economic development person who was so totally in Jupiter's camp. The commissioners really didn't know what they were doing when they.
No, shame on them. I mean, that's what economic development people do. That's you know, who.
So listen with a.
Yeah.
Listen with a critical ear.
Yeah, exactly.
If you got any sense.
Yeah, I don't blame the econ guy for pressing econ. That's what his job
wasn't
is.
Wasn't a guy, but yeah.
Okay, but I was using that kind
no,
of.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I shouldn't. Anyway, the city and county ought to temper their excitement about, we got a new whatever.
Yeah.
Because we are in a desert and, you know.
I get that, but you're dying.
I would like to see a moratorium on new pecan. I think I would like to see a law.
I agree with that.
You can't plant more than 4 pecan trees on a piece of property.
Yeah, I agree.
Henceforward,
with that.
I mean, the ones that are there,
they get grandfathered,
have water rights, and you know, they need to get their water. And I love trees. I love pecan groves.
Right,
but planting more huge. Sets of pecan trees.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm just
that's nutty.
I'm just
well, good,
not with you on
something.
Yeah. But this idea that we got to stop growth.
The other thing I want to say about Jupiter before we leave it is they keep saying, well, we've responded. We went to this fuel cell type of power. And that's misleading. It's not completely false. The fuel cell, if it works, hadn't been done at this scale, but assuming it does work fine, will cut your terrible emissions by 30%. But solar, if you put it in, even partially, would cut it by a lot more than 30% of, if you were given a poison today, and I said, well, I'll take 30% of it out, and you drink the rest, I don't think you'd think that was a great deal, but that's what Jupiter, they don't say 30%. They say, wow, we've solved the problem in their public statements. Problem.
That's fine, and that's all kind of above my head, to be honest. Sometimes 30% could be significant, and sometimes it isn't. So I'm not educated enough to know the difference. So,
A lot else going on in the world from from World Cup interfered with by Mr. Trump. Graham Plattner. I look at the Graham Plattner thing, and I had been sort of defending him, but
yeah, we both did, and we both were wrong.
We've been talking too much.
Yeah, we both took the wrong. Yeah, listen, new information, and you change your opinion. That happens.
Yep. No, and the other interesting question that we have about a half minute to Mitch McConnell. I mean, there are journalists saying he's brain dead in the hospital, and they're keeping it secret because the Republicans don't want the kind of special election that would occur if he's determined not to be able to continue as senator before August, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But if it's a week or two later, I think their fear is that Massey, the Republican congressman who's pretty popular but got trumped out,
would run for the seat.
That he would run and split the red vote.
Yeah.
And I gather, anyway, it's fascinating to have to read one moment that he's brain dead.
We don't have enough time, but there's this Kane from New Jersey who's spent the last 3-6 months, I think, away from Congress, and now he comes back and says, I want to run for reelection.